The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you would hand his son a stone when he asked for a loaf of bread? Or a snake when he asked for a fish? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus continues to develop for us today what he said to us on Ash Wednesday, that we're supposed to pray. When you pray, he said, pray differently than the rest. Go to that inner room. Go to that sanctuary of where you have all your treasures and communicate with your Father. Jesus, a couple days ago, taught us about the what to pray, about the substance of prayer, when he taught us the seven things of the Our Father, the types of things we should be asking the Father in their hierarchy. Today, he starts to talk a little bit about the dispositions to pray and the confidence we're supposed to have. Jesus gives an unbelievable guarantee in today's gospel. No used car salesman could ever say anything like this. No infomercial would ever come close. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. We need to have that type of confidence. And why should we have that type of confidence? Because as we've been describing through our Lent, God is a loving Father. We pray so that our Father sees. We fast so that we might hunger for what our Father hungers for. We give alms so that we might be a chip off the old providential, self-giving, divine block. Right here, Jesus helps us to see that we have this confidence because we have a Father. What one of you would hand his son a stone when he asks for a loaf of bread, or a snake, or poisonous eel is what it means, when he asks for fish? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is holy, 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 give good things to those who ask him? So we should pray with filial boldness, knowing that the one whom we're asking loves us more than any parent could ever love a child. But there's something built in here that we need to grasp. Because we have to ask ourselves, okay, what am I asking for? What am I seeking? For what purpose am I banging down the door? God loves us too much to make us spiritual spoiled brats. He loves us too much that if we're asking for something for ourselves or for others that wouldn't really be harmful, he's just not going to give us that thing to teach us lessons or to just let us get our own way. He loves us too much for that. And so when Jesus says, ask and you will receive, he doesn't say you will receive exactly what you're asking for. When he says, seek and you'll find, he doesn't say you'll find exactly what you're seeking. When he says, knock and the door will be opened, he doesn't promise that on the opposite side of the door, we're going to have exactly what we want. And that's also totally out of love for the Lord. What are we asking for? A couple days ago when we pondered what Jesus taught us about the substance of Christian prayer in the Our Father, we pondered these things. Do we really bang that door down? Hallowed be your name, O Lord. I am so sick and tired of your name being blasphemed. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. I'm so tired of seeking my own. I'm so tired of trying to build an earthly paradise. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. I'm so sick and tired of this time of sin. I'm so sick and tired of doing my will rather than yours. Now is the time to change. Your will be done, O Lord. Are those the big things that we're seeking? Are we hungering for the super substantial bread that comes down from heaven? Give me today, O Lord, my daily bread. Help me to come and get it. Help me to seek this. Give me your mercy, O Lord. Forgive me my sins, just as I forgive everyone his or her sins. Do we really seek to grow in temptation? Don't let me fall when I'm tempted. Strengthen me. Help me to choose you whenever I'm tested. To really seek in everything to be delivered from the evil one and all his empty promises and all his evil works. Let's start there. Are we seeking those things that Jesus taught us to pray for, to seek, and to knock down the door to obtain? Or are we seeking little stuff? Today in the first reading, we see the type of prayer, type of asking, the type of seeking, the type of banging on the door that ought to inspire us. It's the prayer of Queen Esther, who was seized with mortal anguish and had recourse to the Lord. You remember her story. She was among the Jews there in Babylonian captivity, and the right hand of King Ahasuerus, to whom she was married, because he hated the Jews, and particularly hated Mordecai, wanted to do a Holocaust. Because she was there through her beauty, Mordecai, who had raised her, came and said, "You've got to save your whole people." There were all types of rules in the court that nobody, including the queen, could approach the king unbidden. She would be taking her life into her hands. But she said, "Okay, let's have all the Jews fast for 3 days. And on the third day I will approach the king." 3 days of praying with the body. 3 days, again, not having one big meal and two other meals that just come up to the 99.9 percentile of another meal, but real serious bold fasting for 3 whole days, and she didn't die. She didn't say, "Ooh, my diabetes, maybe that my levels are going to go up." She didn't say any of that. Bold prayer with the body. Then she made this prayer before she was going to go into the king's presence. Prostrate on the ground, from morning until evening, she asked, "God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, blessed are you. Help me, who are alone and have no one to help but you. For I'm taking my life in my hand." She reminded him, in a sense, of why she should have filial confidence. "As a child, I used to hear from the books of my forefathers that you will always free those who are pleasing to you. Help me now, who am alone and have no one but you, O Lord my God. Come to help me, an orphan. Put in my mouth persuasive words in the presence of the lion, and turn his heart to hatred for our enemy, so that he and those who are in league with him may perish. Save us from the hands of our enemies, turning our mourning into gladness and our sorrow into wholeness." She was praying for real. Asking, seeking, begging, banging. And God heard that prayer. She came to the king's door. King saw her, extended the golden scepter, said, "Please come on in, Queen Esther. What can I do for you?" She said, "Come to a dinner I'm preparing." So he said, "Fine." And he brought his right hand, the one who had planned the destruction of the Jews. And so the king asked over dinner, "Why did you want to have this dinner?" And she said, "To save my life and the life of my people." King Ahasuerus, "What are you talking about?" And then she let the cat out of the bag. And everything turned around. The king's right hand was trying to beg for his life, and he physically was touching her on a couch. And the king came back into the room when he had gotten some fresh air to figure out what he would do to Haman, and thought that Haman was trying to molest the queen in the presence of the king. And so what he had planned to do to Mordecai, he did to Haman, and put him up on that public execution stand. Everything had turned around because she insistently prayed. We all need to have a little bit of that Queen Esther in us. No, I take that back. We all need to have a lot of that Queen Esther in us. This is the way we're called to pray, with insistence. It's very beautiful to see last night the way so many came to venerate the relics of these saints. How some people were with a saint for a long time, on their knees, begging. I'm sure God heard a lot of prayers last night through the intercession of those who teach us how to pray and who intercede for us, because they continue to ask for us, they continue to seek, they continue to knock. We need to have that type of confidence. Pope Francis has said over the course of the last couple of years in his papacy that a lot of the times we pray weakly. We'll ask maybe once or twice, and if God doesn't hear, we'll say, oh well, I guess he doesn't care about this petition, or maybe worse, he doesn't love me, or anything else like this. The Lord, no, wants us to pray with filial boldness and continue to pray, but at the same time to examine what we're praying for and what our real desires are. I think one of the most important aspects of all of this is given in St. Luke's version of the scene, when almost with the same words Jesus says, even if you who are evil would give good things to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That God, no matter what we ask for, always gives himself. He always gives the greatest gift of all, who is the giver with a capital G. And so we should always be satisfied when we pray. But we got to say, do we pray as spoiled children or do we pray as confident children? If we're praying for God to take away our headache and all God gives us in return is himself, do we think we've lost in the exchange? If we're praying for a loved one to be healed from cancer and all God gives us in reply is himself, do we think he doesn't love us? When we're banging on the door and what we really want is a winning lottery ticket on the opposite side of the door. But when we open it, all that's there is God himself. Do we feel lucky? Do we feel like we've really won that jackpot? Because we have. That's the essence of the type of prayer as children that God wants to develop in Lent. So in Lent, we've got this 40-day period of consistent prayer, of asking for the big stuff, of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be given to us besides, of knocking on the door of heaven through our actions, seeking heaven, knowing that when we ask, God will reply by giving us the greatest gift of all, himself. And if it's in accord with his will, he will also, after the prayers that we need, give us precisely what we need and exceed it always. Today we come to Mass, which is the insistent prayer of Jesus' bride together with the bridegroom to the Father. From the rising of the sun to its setting, this is the prayer we make. This is what we ask for. This is what we seek. Together the whole mystical body knocks on the door of heaven. And we come here asking for the stuff that we and the church really most need. Together let us pray boldly and let us be grateful, because the words of the psalm couldn't say it any better. I give you thanks, O Lord, with all my heart, for you have heard the words of my mouth. On the day I called for help, you answered with yourself. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.